So we're holding the Rambam in his introduction to the 10th chapter and I'm having a confusion today. Okay, we got a different recorder. We're holding the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter to Perek Chelek, and the Rambam has explained how we can't expect people to perform mitzvot for the ideal. People will always need external stimuli until they reach a very, very high level. And the Rambam seemed to enumerate that even a person on level that is learning to be a dayan is going to have external stimuli. And the Rambam says, "Hinei nitbel zayinian minitbel shu matzat mitzvot." V'yoter gadol mizeh umram b'lishon sifri. And greater than this is what it says in the Sifri. The Sifri is a medrash halacha. Shem atamar harini lemet Torah b'shvi sheyeh ashir. Maybe you'll say, "I learn Torah, so I'll be wealthy." B'shvi shekarei rabbi. I learn Torah, so they'll call me rabbi. So I'll get reward in the world to come. That's why we say in Kriya Shema every day, "Lavat Hashem, perform, learn Torah to love, out of your love for Hashem." Everything you do should not be performed for any other purpose other than the love of Hashem. The Rambam says, "I've clarified this point, and I've clarified that this is the purpose of the mitzvot and the foundation for our faith in the sages." If we had time, we'd have to ponder on this sentence. What does the Rambam mean by that? Seems to be that the Rambam is indicating that part of our faith in our sages is that we believe that they're pure in their intent. And that, if you recall our introduction to Halacha, we discussed that in order to discern what is the Torah really trying to tell me, a person has to purify himself of all biases. And if a person is focused on making money, on getting honor, so then he's going to have biases. There's a Mishnah which could be misleading. There's a Mishnah in Eduyot that records that Akavya ben Mahalalel was a great sage. And there were three points that he differed with the sages on. He had a tradition going one way, and the rest of the sages had a tradition going the other way. So they told him, "Akavya, if you give in to us on these three points, we'll make you chief rabbi. You'll become the head of the Sanhedrin." And Akavya said to them, "God forbid that I should let go of what I believe is the truth. This is the tradition I had. I'm not leaving the truth even for a second. You guys think I'm fit to lead the Jewish people, I should be the chief rabbi," which in those days really meant he was running the show of everything. He was running the Jewish people, but he said, "I'm not forgoing the truth even at that expense." And here we see that he had a Yetzer Hara, so to speak, a good Yetzer Hara. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara works on us in a pious way. Like when the Yetzer Hara came to Yitzchak and said, "Why are you going to the Akedah?" So we have a tradition that he showed up to Yitzchak. He didn't say, "Yitzchak, what are you giving up your life for?" He said, "Yitzchak, do you know how many years your mother cried to have a baby? You know how much your mother wanted you? Finally, your mother has a child. You're going to do this to your mother?" So the Yetzer Hara works on us also, and so to speak, piously. He says, "How could you do this to so-and-so? This isn't pious." So Akavya ben Mahalalel also, on the one end, we could understand that they're offering him something external. They're telling him, "We'll give you this position. You'll be the Nasi." But if we read more deeply into it, and we recognize what that means, that to be the Nasi means that they felt he really was on that level. They felt he should be running the show as far as what is the halacha in the Jewish people. And they said, "But you have to give in on these three points, that all the other sages have a different tradition." It's interesting that when he was about to pass away, so his son said to him, "What should I do?" So he said, "Give in on those three points." He said, "Why should I give in? All your years you never gave in." So he said, "Because I have a tradition I heard from many rabbis. So when I have a tradition I heard from many rabbis, I could disagree with many rabbis. You only heard it from me. So if you hear that one person says one thing and all the other rabbis say something else, go with the other rabbis. Even though I'm your father and I'm telling you I heard from many people, but you have to, this generation, you see me versus the rabbi." Yeah.
If your father has tradition of
both
rabbis, right now you can't really
determine a lot. Depends which tradition. This is
Minhag
is different. It depends which minig. You have to deal with each one separately. But this, here we're talking about a tradition to disagree with them in halacha. So, yeah.
Here,
Rabbi Adler
deals with something
with this book. Okay, yeah, I hope to read it today. So, the Rambam says the foundation for our faith and our sages is this point that we assume that they're doing things purely. No one will disregard this point, says the Rambam, unless he's a fool. That he's already been fantasizing and he has different things that he's come to the conclusion out of his fantasies about how the world should work. The logic dictates that this is how it should work. The Zuyman Avraham Avinu. When we discuss Avraham Avinu, we should know that this is his great trait, Shayal Vid Mava, that he served his creator out of love. Avraham was able to connect, and the Rambam stresses this point in the Morin Avuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed. The Rambam says, why was the test to sacrifice Yitzchak such a great test? When God tells him, bind him and bring him up to me on the mountain, the Rambam explains, again, that Avraham Avinu had spent his whole life teaching and preaching that there's one God. They should stop serving idols. They shouldn't sacrifice their kids to idols. And he had set up a following whom he had taught the ways of serving Hashem. And now, after his whole life's work, he has this child who's going in his footsteps. And this child is the continuum. He's the potential for this following to become a people. This is the potential for his life's work in the service of Hashem to bear fruit. If he goes, he knows that these people, they can't make it alone. He needs his son Yitzchak to lead the flock. And now God is telling him, take this son, this is all the Rambam and Morin Avuchim, take this son and offer him to me. And God isn't telling him, do it now, where Avraham doesn't have a chance to think about it. God gives him 3 days. 3 days' journey where he could contemplate, should I or shouldn't I do it? And again, the Yetzer Hara is working on Avraham Avinu from within, working on him on a, so to speak, altruistic level. He's saying, you can't take Yitzchak out of the world. The whole world's going to plummet if there's no Yitzchak here. You're about to die. After all these years God gave you a kid at this old age, what's going to be? And yet Avraham Avinu stood up to the test. That's Avraham who served Hashem out of love. God tells him to do it. He knows he loves Hashem. Whenever Hashem wants, that's what he's going to do. It's not an easy thing. You know, we say the words as though it's simple. And again, notice that the Rambam stresses in this text not the fact that Yitzchak was his beloved son. When we read the verses, it seems like God is telling him, take the one singular son whom you love. Seems to be stressing the bond as a father-son, the natural bond, that was the test. And the Rambam seems to stress that the test in Akedah was the fact that his life's work was going down the tubes. The fact that he was told to forgo his love for his son, that the Rambam seems to put as second degree. Not that that was his first, the hardest part of the test. Yeah?
Just one question. If you see that Yitzhak intrinsically was about Gura, was obedient in the sense of Gura, right? And for Abraham, out of his very nature, he was going against his very nature by doing exactly like that. But why do we call
it Akedah means the binding of Yitzchak.
But we refer to Yitzchak as a
tetrachord,
or no?
I see that not. It seems like we speak about both of their schools, but it seems to be Abraham's Nisayon. We don't find as much of a stress as this being Yitzchak's Nisayon, even though it obviously was. It was also a test for his
heart. One point between talks about like how he like said like father tiny final jerk or
right. It obviously was a test also for his heart, but for some reason he reached the point of Abraham. I don't know why.
More about the coming Abraham was.
I don't know. Whatever I'll tell you is a guess. So I could guess like you could guess. I don't know. I don't know the story.
Hey, Rabbi, question. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was asking, I wonder if maybe you answered this one of the bullets about, like, you know, when we say that Abraham, you know, is really great, you know, like, God, you know, said do this thing, and, you know, he did it, you know, he could have not, you know, he wanted to and all that, and also, like, I, you know, like, think about how, like, you know, people might say, like any moral objection to God asking this, where you can say, well, God wanted when we ask Abraham to do it.
That will deal with embrace.
Okay.
Yeah. I just brought it as an example to. Did you want to add something?
No, I was just gonna reiterate a question I asked you before. I wondered if you already answered it, a coolant, or if it's something you could. I guess wondering how can we say the pagans were so evil for being willing to sacrifice their kids? The prophets, for example, speak all the time about how evil they are. They put their sons in fire. They just have those evil people to do all this horrible stuff. And then we praise Abraham for this. How double standard.
Oh, so let's deal with that on Thursday night.
Thanks.
So fair question. Let's deal with it. Or when we reach Parshas Vayera, we reach the Parshas of the Akedah. The Rambam says, "Elecha zochav al yishov," and we are all obligated to aspire to this way, to this level. Because our sages knew that this is a very difficult task to aspire to such high level. Men kol adam echol asigo. Can't expect every person to attain this. And a person who does comprehend this, initially, this won't make sense to him. It won't seem right initially. Our nature is that when we do something, we think, what's in it for me? If not for that, then we'd be doing things for naught. Obviously, we have to always be concerned, what's the point of what I'm doing? What do I gain from it? That's the way we work in this world. And that's positive. We have to function that way. How can you tell a person, here's the Torah, do it. Not because you'll be punished if you don't. Not because you'll get something if you do. Because God said so. The average person can't function on that level. That's why our sages allowed the masses to remain with their misconception that they have to do good things because they're going to get all kinds of fancy things. Now the Rambam isn't coming to say that there's not going to be a payback. The Rambam's saying, but is that to be our focus? Or is it like the child who shows up in class in order to eat Ragala? So the Ragala are sweet, but the question is that why you're showing up to class? I'm sure not. So, what? I had. I ate one before you guys came.
You should be talking about the left and coming out, breaking down.
No one's breaking? So, our sages allowed the masses to maintain their belief and to maintain their focus that I'm doing this because you know how much good I'm going to get in the world to come, and I'm not doing this because if I do, you know what's waiting for me in perdition. And our sages urge people with this belief, and they strengthen their belief in this, hoping that eventually a person will reach the level where he understands the truth. Until a person can attain and understand and ultimately function with the understanding of what is the best way of serving Hashem, which is not because I expect something. And think about it. If I'm serving Hashem because I want to get Olam Haba, Gan Eden, whatever you want to call it, or because I'm scared that I'm going to burn in perdition and who knows what's going to happen there, so who am I serving?
Myself.
I'm serving myself. So the Rambam says, just like Keder Shanu Simna Nal Bizman Alimud, just like the child, as he's learning, we tell him, Kefi HaMashal Shekdamu, like the mashal the Rambam gave before, we tell him, learn Torah so that you get this reward or that reward, so that's how you get them started off. That's how we get people started off, and we tell them initially what's waiting for them. If they do perform, if they don't. And our sages held it against Antigone, the important man of the city of Socho, that he made known this concept because the masses aren't ready to hear it. So they said, why are you publicizing this? Masses don't lose completely by the fact that they perform the mitzvahs just because they're scared of the punishment or they want the payback. They're performing the mitzvahs just not in a complete fashion. But better do it this way, so initially they get accustomed to doing this. And this is a very important point in Tino. Very often we want the kids to do things on the highest level. And we have to know that you can't always do that. You're going to start training a kid. Caesar used to make me in his diapers. You're going to tell him, go make him a bathroom. And he says, why? So you say, because that's what you should do. You're going to be an adult. What are you going to do? Walk around diapers your whole life? And the kid looks at you and says, yeah. What are you going to say? No. And he's 2 years old and he says, yeah. Now what are you going to do? So if you're smart, you tell him, look, every time you go to the bathroom, I'll give you a raisin. The kid says, a raisin? You say, yeah. You know how delicious a raisin is? But in our generation, you could give him a Winky, you could give him a chocolate chip. You give him some small prize and you tell him, every time you go to the bathroom, you'll get that. You can't expect the kid at 2.5 or 2 years old to understand that he should go to the bathroom because he can't walk around diapers his whole life. But you get him accustomed to going to the bathroom normally, not using his diaper, and then over time he'll mature and he'll understand that this is a better way to function in life. Yeah?
You don't go let him think, you go over there, go to the toilet.
Okay, we don't work that way.
Not really? You don't straight to the toilet?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, you could work with a potty, but it's a pain in the neck to clean it. Why not get him into the toilet right away? So the Rambam is saying that the same thing is true with getting the masses accustomed to performing the mitzvot. Ultimately, we want them to reach the level that they understand that it's to their benefit. But initially, we let them do it so that they get their winkies, that they will get olam haba. But that shouldn't be the focus of their performance. We let them perform that way. They should get accustomed to performing mitzvot. Ultimately, we hope they'll attain the level that they'll understand the true reasons of performing the mitzvot. Now, the Rambam is going to begin, and this is where we're going to start, God willing, next week. We're continuing through the break. Whoever wants to follow, follow on the internet if you're not here. But I think we have to continue. What you need to know, the Rambam is saying that when it comes to understanding what our sages said, there are three different approaches, and the Rambam is going to break them down. People who take everything our sages said literally, and they insist that that's what they meant. And we're going to work off of that. The Rambam is going to mention the three different groups, the different types of people, how they approach what our sages say, and then the Rambam is going to tell us the correct way to understand what our sages say. And off of that, the Rambam is going to start talking to us about everything our sages said about the world to come, Olam Haba and Gan Eden. So what we have until now is that the Rambam says everything that the Rambam has not yet addressed what he does with the sources that do discuss Gan Eden and Olam Haba. The Rambam has simply said that performance of mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvahs and the Torah with the sole focus on the reward, the world to come, etc., that is a mistake, but it's a mistake that we allow the masses to maintain because it's to their benefit. At least this way they get accustomed to performing the Torah and the mitzvah. Now, what is the correct way to understand? So what is in store for us if we perform or don't perform? That we have yet to see. Rambam is going to discuss it. But the Rambam has stressed that that is not the main focus. That's not why we perform the mitzvah. He didn't say there is no world to come. He's about to explain, that's where we're headed now, what is the world to come? What is Gan Eden and Olam Haba? What's going on there? But the Rambam is going to give us an introduction, which we'll begin reading next week, as to how to understand what our sages say in general. You read things that our sages say, what's the proper way to understand it? And off of there, the Rambam is going to start explaining how we understand Olam Haba and Gan Eden. Yeah?
Wait, have you heard about Rabbi Gottlieb? He says the Rambam says you should desire the world to come, and you should desire the world to come, and you should serve God, but you should not serve God in order to get the world to come. But serving God will get you the world to come, and you should want the world to come, but you don't serve God by it.
Okay.
He's like, how do you do this? And he uses all this. Like, he has like
let's see. We haven't gotten there yet.
I'm just saying. Really.
Okay. Shkwa.